本がトスラリアットジャストリーダリアットブルーベイザ
ー。 Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your podcast revolving all around the world of Japanese pro wrestling here at MLWRadio.com. I am Strigger. I am joined again by Dylan. Dylan, what's up?
I feel fantastic right now. I would like, before we get into anything, there are some things that are more important than Japanese pro wrestling, and I know this may be hard to believe, but I would like to point people in the direction of my freshly minted MLW profile on MLW.com.
Whoa!
Yes, the sky blue hot-blooded young man is officially a part of the MLW network, and I would like to thank you, Strigger, for having me on this fine show. I'd like to thank Court. You know, I always suck up to the people in charge, the big bosses, so thank you. I know who butters my bread, but everyone check that profile out, because the writer, whoever this was, did an amazing job of capturing the essence of my life story.
Yeah, so, mine too. I'm just looking at the profile. I was checking, the other day, I think on 2 days ago, I was checking if your profile had already gone up. It hadn't, but now it's apparently, yeah.
Just in time, even though they slotted me behind Thomas. Yes, thank you. I consider myself very handsome. I was slotted behind Tama Tonga, though, so we're having a little bit of a rivalry right now, me and Tama.
Oh yeah,
on this duo. Yeah.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Tama Tonga. This is of course the first Strong Style Saturday here at MLWRadio.com. We're doing a double header today with our show, the Eastern Lariat, and the Tiki Bar that's opening up today as well. So. This week it's a doubleheader. We will also do a show next week, and from that on we will always alternate between the Tiki Bar and the Eastern Lariat. I think that's a good way to go.
Yes, this is a very special episode today. We're double dipping
right
these next 2 weeks. So congrats to Tama on his show, and I know this is a beautiful partnership we've got going on right now, I feel like.
Exactly. And something very special, some very special developments in the world of Japanese wrestling is, for example, the launch of the Wave Network. You can go to prowave.com/wave_network, and you will get the opportunity to subscribe to the Yoshi Promotions Wave Network. That's, I think, 800 yen a month. The first month, this
800.
Month. Yes, 800 yen. The first month is free, I guess. The first month of June right now is free. There are some. I think three shows are up right now, but it's looking good, and it's all in Japanese, that's the issue, but I believe that Kevin, who you can find at Puro Central on Twitter, he provided an English guide how to sign up with the new Wave Network. So if you go to at Puro Central, you can find his guide there.
Yes, also at his website, Joshi City. And Wave, right now, they're starting a new brand, as we've seen with the Stardom promotion in Joshi. It makes me very happy as a longtime fan of the Joshi scene that because if you are a follower like me, you'll know that things were very down not that long ago, for the Joshi scene. And now, recently, with Stardom and with Wave now coming up, there's a lot of brands that are improving themselves, and Wave actually has a very underrated roster. If people only know Stardom, Wave has a lot of regulars such as Hikaru Shida, who is one of my favorite Joshi wrestlers, Yumi Oka, Aoi Kazuki, and Hamada's there too. Fujimoto wrestles there occasionally as a freelance, and they have a lot of strong performers, and I'm really looking forward to see what they bring to the table, Striga.
Yeah, right. You just said it, the Yoshi scene is kind of rebuilding. We had recently Ice Ribbon and also Sentai Girls having very successful Kuroken Hall shows.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see what the Yoshi promotions are going to do in 2016. Another interesting point, of course, is if you listened to last week's Bauer and Pollock show, you will have heard that some other promotions in Japan are planning to launch similar networks, streaming services like New Japan World, like Stardom World, and now like the the Wave Network. What I can say is that this has been in the plans for some time now, and also Stardom World is moving from YouTube to a new service, mainly due to YouTube restricting some entrance themes and also YouTube subscription channels not being available in all countries, and with the new service those issues should be resolved. So yeah, it's going to be exciting times. The promotions that will possibly open up their streaming services are the obvious ones, not small promotions like Heat Up or Guts World. Yeah, sorry. But it's going to be exciting times, I guess, in 2016, and it's going to be interesting, to say the least, for fans not living in Japan.
I'm really looking forward to this, because now some promotions that get underrated sometimes by New Japan specific fans will have a better outlet for the Western audience. And if you really think about it, in terms of in the West, we could see, because we've seen not that long ago where NOAH was considered the biggest promotion in the West with their deal with ROH and their increased exposure. And All Japan's could get a new burst of life in the West as well. And I really love their product, especially All Japan. I can't wait to see what they do with it, if they've got any tricks up their sleeve, because as we said previously, New Japan's kind of dropped the ball a little on the worldwide audience. Stardom has done a lot better, and we've seen it, because I've seen someone with Stardom online say that they were far ahead of where they expected in terms of international subscriber base.
That's good.
And with this move now, we're going to see a lot of new countries that weren't able to see before, including Germany, as some people I know, were left out in the cold when it comes to Stardom World.
Exactly. Yeah, regarding Stardom, I think we can quickly talk about my experience last week, because we have some other topics going for this shorter show. I was at the Stardom show in London. It was a very, very good show with some great matches. For example, Mayu Iwatani against Nixon Newell. Great match, Io Shirai against Kaylee Ray in another great, great match. I was there, of course, to see the show, but I was also planning on doing some interviews, but due to some, yes, it just didn't work out due to some issues that happened on the border, and then everything got delayed, and it really didn't work out. I was very sad and kind of a little bit frustrated too, but I'm not blaming anyone specifically for this, because everything got so delayed that they didn't have a chance to really get anything going there.
And a lot of time on these independent shows, things can just pile up on everyone.
Yeah.
Get messy. So I don't think there's really anyone to blame.
No.
But, you know, these things happen at independent shows. We're sorry. I personally was looking forward to those interviews, by the way. But I hope everyone, you know, can bear with us on that. But it was no one's fault, and, you know, And I was happy to hear that the show itself was very good.
It was. It will be on Stardom World. I think they already start to upload the matches. I'm not sure.
I don't have it in front of me. I don't think they have yet.
Okay, but you should definitely check out the show, especially because you see me standing at the bar all the time from the art cabin.
Pretty good.
I had kind of the best place in the building, actually. First row, I could see the ring. And if I turned around, I could order a drink. So, what can you ask more?
I just wanted to recently touch on briefly the Stardom Gold May show.
Yes.
As it featured a few matches, including Alpha Female versus Queen Maya, which was a spectacle in and of itself. Let's just say.
Yeah.
But there was also two matches: Santana Garrett versus Kairi Hojo. Santana's recently started up her Tea Time service on Stardom World again, or her video series. So, and that was a welcome addition. But they had a nice little match. Threedom gets all the titles as are expected. And the main event though was Mayu Iwatani and Io Shirai. Thunder Rock imploded, and it was a glorious spectacle. And not a spectacle, but an actual great match. I thought this was one of the best matches of the year. And I know that you wasn't able to watch this yet, but I would like to point this out to the fans. I really wanted to make this point that I feel like in this match especially, Mayu, of all of the people at Stardom, of all the Joshi stars, she's not rated on the same level as someone like an Io Shirai, but if you look at her matches this year, through May this year, every big show that Stardom has from January, I really enjoyed her match with Kaylee Ray. I thought that was actually the best match on the show. She had an amazing match with Evie that I thought was a great match in February. The tag match that we talked about on our last show was an incredible performance. In April, she ran through the Cinderella tournament and had the best match of the show on that too against Hiroyu Matsumoto, who's stepping up as well. And now this match, which I think this is Io's best match in quite a while. I really think if you could put Iwatani's year just as a wrestler in terms of her top five matches or big performances, which is the meat and potatoes of what she's got thus far, I think her year can legitimately compare to any person, any wrestler in the world this year. I think she, to me, is a most outstanding wrestler candidate, and I think she's very underrated. So if you don't watch Joshi, I really want the fans to check out her matches specifically and, you know, see that I'm right, as usual. But, you know, I thought it was an incredible match. They had a great story told, too, in the match between Mayu's Dragon Suplex and Io using her variations of the suplex, which I just thought is amazing, and I really hope Mayu gets more credit and more buzz going forward.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I will definitely check that show out. But as for today, we have two topics we wanted to discuss. One topic being Pro Wrestling Noah. I've been avoiding to watch Noah shows since January, mainly because the Suzuki-gun angle, in my estimation, should have ended in December with Maro Fuji winning the title. Then they followed it up by Takashi Sugiura defeating Maro Fuji for the belt at a very, very cold show, and it just felt like they were dragging and dragging and dragging on with this storyline. So I basically didn't watch any Noah from January up until last week. But last weekend they had their big show in Osaka with a very depressing crowd. Unfortunately, only 1,923 fans in attendance, announced attendance, that is, in an arena that holds up to about 5,000 or 5,500 people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we did watch this show, and what I did as well is I went back and watched some of the key matches from February, March, and April in preparation for this show. And I have to say this. under the surface of this ongoing Noah versus Suzuki-gun story, there is a lot of good things happening in Noah. For example, the junior heavyweights with Atsushi Kotoge, Daisuke Harada, Kenno, and also Hajime Ohara, who is incredibly charismatic. I didn't believe that he would be as charismatic when I saw him in Smash a few years mm-hmm. back. He was all right, but not on that level. But he's really good. He's really gained a lot of supporters around the Noah fans. And also, I want to point out that Katsuhiko Nakajima and Masa Kitamiya, as he's known now, are a pretty good tag team. Masa Kitamiya is, of course, the former Mitsuhiro Kitamiya, and he adopted the name Masa because Masa Saito was his mentor. Of course, the legendary Masa Saito, I should say.
Yeah.
And under the surface, as I said, of this Suzuki-gun story that is keeping people from coming to the shows, and that's not something I'm making up, because I've talked to Japanese Noah fans about this. They are really sick and tired of all this crap, and I really don't use language like that when I'm talking about products and promotions usually on here, but people are really fed up with the storyline, and it's always the same thing. They have a big match, they wrestle, then there is Suzuki-gun guys storming the ring, and it's always interference in all the big matches, and it's really, really, really frustrating. But the matches I saw from February up until now were really good. And the only complaint I really have is this ongoing main storyline with Pro Wrestling Noah. I don't know how you see it, Dylan.
Oh, I said it on the first show I was on. Fuck. Like, you said it should end in December. To me, I think I'm tired of these storylines. I don't care if it's the Ingobernables. I don't care if it's Chokibogun, as was sort of the predecessor of Suzuki-gun and Noah. I would have ended this the very first month. I would have had Noah sweep Suzuki-gun and send them back home. If it were up to me, but. And you're right, like, it's had a tremendously negative effect, both in the ring and in terms of business. I agree, though, that the juniors being great is not new news in Noah.
No.
I saw someone on Twitter on this show make a point to something that, like, in the junior tag match that we'll talk about in a second, Harada and Kenno and Ohara have all improved steadily, but to me, they were always great. Kenno especially, if you've seen his work in Michinoku Pro versus Fujita Jr. Hayato, he is a great wrestler. He's always been charismatic. Ohara wasn't always great because I've seen him in CMLL in Mexico, and he was actually really bad when he first started out, but he's become an incredible wrestler. These guys have been putting on great performances along with Ishimori for years. And like you, they had a mini tournament in April with all four men that squared off. They both did very good in sprint level matches. We've seen in December, Kenno and Ohara have a great match together. That was a sprint.
And I saw that.
Yes. And even back to the beginning of last year, if you remember the main event of one of the shows in January of last year, which was an incredible match, which is Kotoge versus Harada. For the championship, it was in Kotoge's hometown. His mom was in the crowd. They made a vent at the show,
oh my God.
It was what? Huh?
Great.
Yeah, and it made a vent at the show, and it was successful. They're really the only company I feel like that can put juniors on top, and it could be one of their most successful shows that we've seen with that match. And later in the year, when Kotoge and Harada first won the tag team titles from Suzuki-gun, they were the main event of that show, and it did a good number as well. And they continue to deliver. There's one glaring flaw with the junior division right now, and his name is Yoshinobu Kanemaru, as the champion, in my opinion. And it's hard for me, it's really hard for me to watch all of these great performers. And look on this show that we're talking about, where was Ishimori slotted? The least important match on the show. And it's hard for me to understand the thinking behind that, to put Kanemaru over and put Taichi over for so long. It's very confusing to me to see that. As to me, the face of the division, they have so much great talent, so much strong talent. And I think even though that they deliver when they're given the chance, all four of those men that you said are excellent wrestlers. But right now I feel like they don't get the promotional support that they deserve in this company. I feel like a lot of that's wasted, as we'll get into. Let's get into this show a little. What did you think of, as you mentioned, Nakajima and Kitamiya? They are a very good team, although I questioned their recent changes in appearance and looks. Kitamiya has some pants, which I actually like. I actually do. I'm like the only person in the world, I think, who doesn't mind these pants. Nakajima has blonde hair now, copying Kenno. But what did you think of their match on the show versus Minoru and Iizuka?
Well, first of all, I like how Nakajima is dressing right now. I think it's looking good, and I also like that Kitamiya got rid of the singlet.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, for the match, I didn't think that it was anything special.
Yeah,
really.
I think Suzuki's been a major disappointment in Noah. I know this might be controversial to some people, but I really think his performances have not even been average, even as champion, outside of one match versus an incredible wrestler. But
also the match against Maro Fuji, I liked that a lot in December.
Oh, yeah, he was good in that one.
Except for that, he hasn't done much.
His match with Sugira, which was what I was mentioning.
Yeah, of course. That would be the other one.
But Iizuka adds nothing, as we know.
Yeah, so the match was really not much.
And then we get into a match that's really beloved online. Maybach Taniguchi versus Shelton X Benjamin. I will say that this finish was a really, really well done.
Yes.
This match. I would say it's a highlight. And I thought, okay, we'll get, not to jump ahead, but we'll get into this later. If you are someone who hated Ricochet versus Will Ospreay, this is your match. Because Maybach wrestles, and he does what he does well. He's got a ton more potential than I think anyone would have guessed 6 months ago. But he's such a basic wrestler right now. It's almost like he wrestles a young lion style as a heavyweight. If you look at his moveset in this match, his big move was his splash that he does, the Maybach press.
Yeah.
And besides that, it was almost all very basic moves. Shelton looked good, I thought, but this was a good match, don't get me wrong.
No.
But I thought this was a solid match, and I think this is where Maybach is. I think he was a little handicapped by his previous gimmick. And
oh my god, he was so handicapped.
Yeah.
Masked gimmick he had, it feels such a giant waste of time when you see him go unmasked.
Yeah, he moves around well. He had a lot of fire in this match. He's got something. He's not a bad wrestler, but to me he wrestles such a basic style. And that's he took a huge bump too to end this match.
That was incredible.
Yeah, that was very well done.
So the finish was a power bomb from the ring through a table to the outside, where after which Maybach didn't get up anymore and was counted out.
I thought it was great booking to protect Taniguchi.
Yeah, really. It really, really was. I saw a review on voicesofwrestling.com by Dylan Justin. He gave the match 4 stars. I don't really like to talk in star ratings, but I didn't think it was really that good. It was a good match. Also, Shelton Benjamin is incredible when he's put in these situations, and I'm very sure that he will have a great match with Goshi Ozaki on June 12th in Korakuen Hall.
There's a great moment in this match that I really appreciate. I know everyone will probably talk about his in-ring commentary, which was very entertaining. But there was a moment in this match where he set a table up outside the ring to the corner. It was very funny when it fell down. But not only was that very funny when it fell down, I also loved that Shelton was smart enough as a worker not keep going back and fiddling with it and trying to, you know, where it would just look corny.
Exactly.
Like, he moved right on like a seasoned vet that he is. I was really impressed with Shelton in this match. You're absolutely right. And that led into the next match, which was, to me, the best match on the show. The junior tag team title match between Momo no Seishun Tag and Kenno and Hajime Ohara. As we mentioned, these guys are awesome. There's an amazing moment, speaking of table spots, where Kenno came off the top rope and did a double stomp to both men that were seated on a table on the outside and destroyed it here. But yeah, what did you think of this?
It's funny that you said it was the best match on the show, and I think it was the best match on the show, but still, I'm under the impression that this was the weakest match that these two teams had, because they had two matches, one in March and one in early April, that were better than this match.
I was soured on the April match because I thought the title change this was completely absurd. As I mentioned, I think the bookings really let these guys down. There is
one great thing about especially Ohara.
He's amazing.
They have been giving him a new move, the so-called...
Oh, I love this move.
The
yes.
Muy Bien Clutch.
Yes.
And he has been finishing matches. He won the tag team titles for his team using the Muy Bien Clutch on Harada in March. Then they had a singles match for the number one contendership for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title. Again, Ohara being able to roll up Harada with the Muy Bien Clutch. And then, in the following tag team title matches in early April and now, the Muy Bien Clutch hasn't been successful. And Harada has learned from his mistakes by being rolled up with his
move.
That is
true.
That's a great, great, great story.
Yeah, great in-ring storytelling from these four. I also really, really was impressed with Momo no Seishun Tag's selling of this match after the table spot. First of all, I didn't really like that spot, although it did look spectacular. If you look at the match, they were having a great match up to that point, but then suddenly there was like 3 minutes of aimlessness that to set up the move. And I prefer these guys just straight wrestle, because when they do that, it's really good. And after that spot, though, both Harada and especially Kotoge's, they sold that move. They made it mean something. Kotoge never let go of his ribs throughout that entire match, and Harada equally with his back. They really made that move mean something, and they still wrestled their normal style. It's not like it hampered them in any way, but they kept going back to it, and that was something I always look for in a match, and they did an excellent job. I think Kotoge is very, very charismatic as well as Ohara. As we see, Kotoge was often the one riling the crowd up, you know, slapping the mat, yelling at the crowd, and getting them into it. And
still, for two guys who are from Osaka and who wrestled in Osaka for a long time, the crowd reactions were so, so depressing. For the entire show.
Yeah, but like as I said, before the Suzuki-Gun angle started, go watch that match from January 2015, because he was given a hero's welcome, these two were, in the main event. But right now, it's just not possible with the Suzuki-Gun storyline. Mm-hmm. It's not anyone's fault, I don't think.
No. And you already talked about Yoshinobu Kanemaru. I have to say that actually I thought he was the best guy to be put in the situation with Hitoshi Kumano here, because Kanemaru is just such an experienced veteran. And he managed to get a good match, a good young lions match, so to speak, out of Hitoshi Kumano. Yoshinobu Kanemaru always going back to these moves that a young lion would tap to, for example, a Boston Crab or a Camel Clutch hold. Mm-hmm. And Kumano always kept fighting back, and he was the fiery babyface in this match. And in the end, got overpowered by the seasoned veteran. And what is a nice little story that was told in this match.
Kumano looked really good here, sort of. I thought, much like Taniguchi, his offense is still very basic. He still actually is kind of a young, you know.
He is, but the main thing he has developed is that he is now moving like a wrestler. He looked so mechanic in his early days when he started wrestling.
His forearms have really improved. Well,
yes.
Thank God.
He has improved a lot. He's still on this young rookie guy status.
I thought it was a good story told between these two, even though I'm not a fan of Kanemaru or his title reign. I thought, as you mentioned, I think this is the one scenario where Kanemaru shines that. But to me, it still doesn't change that they could have done the same match without the title spotlight being on it. Because Kimanu's just not... He's improved, but these two are not at the level of those of the other members of the junior division.
Yeah, like, exactly. So Taichi Ishimori, he lost the belt to Kanemaru. He lost the rematch.
Horrible decision. A horrible decision, in my opinion.
He lost the rematch too. Then Ohara had his chance. He lost. Momonosation are the tag champs. So the obvious guy to dethrone Kanemaru would be Kenno, right?
Yeah, which would be great. I would be in favor of this. And they have been freed up now, as speaking of questionable talent booking, I guess. The next month will be a multi-person junior tag title match.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. And between two tag teams, that would not be on my high on my list, to say the least. But hopefully Kenno can get that push. I'd love to see Ohara get a push. He really feels like, to me, Kenno and Ohara have really built themselves up and have really integrated themselves well into the Noah scene. But it's hard to tell. Like, they seem to be really dedicated to this Kanemaru thing. He's kind of like Suzuki Goon's last, their last guy that has a title right now, as we saw in the tag match, tag title match.
Great transition here.
Yes.
So, what did you think about the tag title match? I could say I didn't like it at all.
Yes, I thought it was very poor. First of all, it's not really fair to KES, because if you were to pick a team stylistically, like, you could not pick a team that stylistically appeals to me less than Marufuji and Toriyano.
Yeah, and as we have been talking about this Noah storyline, Noah versus Suzuki-gun storyline, can't possibly tell me that it was the plan down the line that KES have this impressive reign as the longest reigning GHC tag team champions, and then they lose to the team of Marufuji and Toru Yano. That can have been the plan.
Well,
that's just my take on it, is that last year they got the notion that Goshi Ozaki would be willing to come back. And then they changed plans. That is what I believe. And that's not me knowing anything. That's just my interpretation of that. That they had the information that Go would be coming back, and then they had to change things up. And that led to, I think, Marufuji being put in the tag title picture with Toru Yano.
To me, though, that's not an excuse. When you have Nakajima and Kitamiya right there.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
I don't care who it is. Like, to be honest with you, I don't think you could have picked a worse tag team, to be honest with you, to end this reign. As much as KES, to me with KES, I really like these guys as singles wrestlers, but there's something about them as this tag team that they're missing something.
I always think the matches are alright, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get a feeling that the matches are very, very special, and I think I've said it before on this show, I would really like to see both, as you said, as in singles competition.
Yes, they are talented men. They're just together, they're just something that doesn't click with them. And this Marufuji and Yano match, Marufuji's, the very first episode I listened to this show, you were commenting on Marufuji, just as a listener, and you were being very diplomatic about Marufuji's his kicks. So I will say what you did not say that day. His kicks are atrocious, and they were in this match as well. Yano does absolutely nothing for me. He's completely, his act is so one-dimensional right now. He's done the same act for so long now. And I don't mind comedy wrestling. I think he can do comedy, well, but he just does the same thing over and over, and it does not appeal to me whatsoever. And we saw their greatest hits for Marufuji and Yano, and Marufuji, when I watch him, because he was a great wrestler at one point, no one can take that away from him. But when I watch him now, and I really got this feeling last year, even in that title match you said that you liked, I really get the feeling that he's just someone who doesn't care about really anything he's doing right now. I remember a match when he had with Katoge in September, which was a great show. He completely buried Katoge on that show, and I'm not the one to use that term lightly, but he took 15 minutes of beating the crap out of this guy. And he just had this smug look on his face, like, yeah, whatever. And even when he won the title, his reaction was so cold. And here, the same thing. I didn't get the feeling that he cared at all about any of this. And probably with good reason, he's teaming with Yano, but I don't like these two as a tag team at all. I hope they drop the titles very quickly, if I had my way.
They're having the rematch again. That will be the third match between these two teams on June 12th. And I hope the program is over then.
Yeah.
Because this tag team title match, as well as the finals of the Global Tag League, didn't really appeal to me. Then we have the main event of Goshi Ozaki as the challenger for Takashi Sugiura, the GHC Heavyweight Champion. I thought the match was pretty good. You liked it more than I did, I think.
Yes, I did enjoy this match. I really thought Sugiura is just so underrated. Like, in all honesty, I think I really rate him very highly even to this point. And he's my guy a lot. I consider myself kind of biased towards Sugiura, because when I first started watching ProRes, he was the guy in Noah. Here we saw, first of all, the strikes between these two were ungodly hard, as everyone would expect, knowing who this is, the chops and the slaps that these two brought upon each other. But there were just some great Sugiura moments in this match that really drew me in. There was a part early where Sugiura hit Go with a slap and knocked him down, and he was getting counted out, and Sugiura just stood there and laughed at him, which was very good. And there was a part after the interference to me. This wasn't like something that took up a lot of the match or anything. It was very brief.
No, it was also very, very functional, because Shelton Benjamin did the interference, who then later challenged for the title.
Yes, exactly. It was functional, but to me, I'm like you. I really don't like these interferences, even though this one did serve a purpose. But it was very small. It didn't ruin the match or anything. It was just kind of like an eye-rolling moment. But
was kind of the interferences in the New Japan main events. They do the interference, but it doesn't result in the match ending.
Yeah, and Go really stepped up, too. I thought he had excellent facial expressions. He really sold this as a big moment,
He did.
Yeah, even though at some points, early on, I really feel like the show wasn't that good, to be honest with you, up until, besides that junior tag match. I thought this was not a good showing, but they got the crowd into this by the end, and I think both men played a lot into it. This was the one time on the show that this actually felt like the crowd was invested. Go did a plancha at this point where it was very dangerous and wild looking, where he completely missed and hit the guardrail. By the end, Go hit a lariat, and Sugiura tried to do like a big fighting spirit spot, but he had a really punch drunk selling way of doing it that I thought was good. And in the end, the right man won, I think. Go was probably, as you said, I think you were absolutely right on the money with saying that plans changed once Go floated his interest in coming back here.
Yeah, and you know what the plans should have changed to? The plans should have changed to Nakajima.
That would have been great.
To Nakajima being the one, because Nakajima versus Takashi Sugiura in Korakuen Hall in March was such a heated match, and Nakajima was such a great babyface in this match. And I think the people would have cared more for Nakajima than they did for Goshi Ozaki, because still at this point,
there
are some boos for Shiozaki, because he once left the company and now, quote unquote, came crawling back.
And the problem with Go as well is that he's never been a draw.
No.
Really, in his entire career.
It's really going to be interesting how he draws in Korakuen Hall on the 12th against a foreigner in the main event.
It won't be pretty. As we've seen, first of all, you said starting off that we wanted to talk about this. I would like to say that I wanted to talk about Guts World, as they as they regularly outdraw Noah nearly at this point.
As we are doing a show next week, too, we will go through some other promotions besides Noah and New Japan next week.
But yes, I totally agree with you. They didn't really help him with booking it. When he first came in, I thought he had a great role as kind of the lone wolf type person. In 2016, he's really just been a guy on the roster thus far. If you look at the shows and his results, I don't think they've really made him feel like a star or special in any way. And a lot of that is him, like I said, because he's not really a star, but he's a great wrestler. I really feel like he's talented. But this could work, but I can't say I'm confident. But I am looking forward to that match with Shelton. I think that show, they could pull out a really good main event. And I did enjoy this match. I thought for the hard-hitting style, this was up my wheelhouse. And I would recommend this to people listening.
Yeah, as I said, I thought it was a good match, but not anything special.
Fair.
Yeah, that was the show. I think a lot of stuff got dragged down by the completely darkened crowd, by the not even 2,000 people. I predicted, actually, they would draw 2,000. But they didn't even draw that. So they were down from the last show they had in Osaka in September with 2,800 down to under 2,000.
Let me ask you this before we move on real quick. Yeah. What would be your... Because there has to be something in the works. There has to be some change coming. hopefully Suzuki-gun, this can all be over with and we can just pretend it was all a bad dream. But besides that, if you notice this entire length of the storyline, they haven't really built anyone like Nakajima or someone like that that's really waiting in the wings. Go was that guy sort of, but he was more off the strength of his All Japan run. There's no one that's really coming up as a potential main eventer. I don't feel like right now. And I what would be your idea to try and get someone there?
You need to strap the rocket on to Nakajima and Kitamiya, because those are the two guys in the heavyweight ranks that are really connecting with the audience.
I agree.
And also you have to go with Hajime Ohara, because he's also very popular. And you have to get rid of interferences in all big matches. That's killing the crowd.
I absolutely agree. Even in this match, the crowd were just starting to get into this match, and when Suzuki ran out, waddled out with his chair, the crowd noticeably started to turn on this match, and they had to work extra hard.
They just do it again and again and again and again, and at some point you just don't care about interferences anymore.
I hate this in every promotion, not just Noah. We've seen this even in Stardom. There's a group that does this, Oedo Tai, and to me, if I ran wrestling in Japan, I would abolish all of this. but it was a show.
Commissioner
I think,
Dylan.
Yeah. Yes.
All of this.
Yes. The commish. But I thought the show was not that good, if we're being honest. But I think the main and the junior tag, and I think you can definitely make the case for the junior title match, as well as Shelton and Kitamiya. Both were solid, not great, kind of overrated online, in my opinion. But the main event and the junior tag are well worth watching, in my opinion.
Yeah, we should get going, as we need to get a little bit into the Super J Cup. We have been talking about the Noah show on the 12th in Kurikano.
That's the Super J.
Yeah, that too. We have been talking about this Kurikan Hall show. They have the main event of Goshi Ozaki against Shelton Benjamin, the GHC Tag Team title match, Maro Fuji and Yano against Killer Elite Squad, as well as the three-way match for the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, Daisuke Harada and Atsushi Kotoge against Taichi and Taka, as well as Yado and Gedo. And then they announced some qualifiers for the Super J Cup in August. 12 men are competing, and three of those 12 men are going to enter the Super J Cup in July. Taishi Ishimori, Kaito Kiyomiya, Yoshinari Ogawa, Hitoshi Kumano, Kenno, Atsushi Kotoge, Genba Hirayanagi, Captain Noah, Hajime Ohara, Andy Dalton, Daisuke Harada, Shiro Tomoyose. Those are the men who will battle it out for the appearances of Pro Wrestling Noah in the Super J Cup. And also announced was a one-day tournament at a Taka and Taichi produced show, which will see the Suzuki-gun representative for the Super J Cup. And also Kai and Tai Dojo now announced their tournament for their place in the Super J Cup. I really hope it's going to be Kaji Tomato. And we already know that Guru Kondaiva from Ryokyu Dragon Pro Wrestling will be the representative for his promotion. So that's the Super J Cup update I wanted to get into.
Oh, okay.
But, as you mentioned, ongoing right now, and actually as we are taping this podcast, we are missing out on a very noteworthy New Japan show that's going head-to-head with our usual taping schedule. We, at this point, know that Tanahashi is out of the ladder match against Kenny Omega, so the injury is maybe not worked at all.
I anticipated this, to be honest with you, because in my mind, the only interest in this match would be, how is Tanahashi going to pull this off?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was very, you know, in theory, it was very dumb booking to put him in this dangerous match right before G1, where they're going to need him. So I think this is the smartest move for all involved. Omega, I don't know what they're going to do with him now, but
apparently he was challenged by Michael Elgin for the ladder match. So maybe they are doing that match again. Kenny has not answered yet, as I'm reading this right now, but we can expect that this will be the match then at Dominion. But since we will have a show next week, we will talk about the, I think, then final card for Dominion on our show next week. I know that you wanted to get into talking about one match in particular that has had the internet buzzing all week, and I know that there were a lot of people that have already given their takes on the match, but Will Ospreay against Ricochet from last Friday.
Like I said, I don't want to go too nuts. As you said, everyone has already said their piece on this, but I thought it would be very strange to just ignore it after all the buzz it's gotten. My take on this match, first of all, is that it was really good. I'm someone who isn't necessarily a fan of that style necessarily, but I thought they really incorporated a lot of different things, a lot of different lucha style spots, and the thing that really triggered all this was Vader's comments based on the their flipping back and forth spot that was on on Twitter.
And the main criticism on that he had was that they were not in competition in that moment. And that's just plain wrong, in my estimation.
Well, just truthfully, just considering their characters, these guys are both very cocky, show-offy, you know, babyface types, especially Ospreay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if there was a fight scene, let's say between, I'm about to get very nerdy for some people, but Johnny Cage and Dante from Devil May Cry. You're telling me that these guys wouldn't show off a little bit and not necessarily be super serious and, you know, on that, you know, I thought this fit perfectly with their characters. The selling was good in this match too, even as a purist, I guess you could say. I thought they did everything right. I think there was hyperbole on both sides because I don't really think of this match as something, a lot of people are saying this is some transcendent match that rewritten the book on high flying, which to me, I was seeing this spot in some of these spots in Lucha in 2006.
Oh yeah,
you know,
some of the Lucha guys I'm following, Rob Viper, and some of the guys I'm following on Twitter. They said that those spots are really nothing new, and people could have said the same thing about some spots Volador did a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah,
Yeah, but I thought that was hyperbole to the extreme, but I thought it was equally so. But I do think I was listening to the Voices of Wrestling podcast.
Yeah, I wanted to plug this. I didn't really listen to it yet, but I heard that they did a very good breakdown of that match.
Yes, yes, and their point is something that I totally agree with, that a lot of this supposed controversy, I think it's more people talking about the controversy than the actual controversy, because I really think most people agree with me on this match, that it was a great match, for what it was. I only saw one person, on Twitter that, besides Vader, that, really went out of their way to criticize this or say, oh, it's killing wrestling, as we know, which is it's practically reached a meme point at this point. But, there's really only one person I've seen on Twitter, and I'm well connected, and as are you. I think that in the end, although that this has bred such a nuclear level of discussion, I think the discussion is great. I know a lot of people are saying that they're tired of this, but I think it's really helped this match and its legacy going forward. As we've seen, the YouTube video has gotten a ton of views, nearly 150,000 at this point.
It was also on ESPN this week.
Oh yeah, yes.
Wrestling at Korakuen Hall, right?
Yes, a new promotion starting up. Very good, but yes, like I said, I really think that the discussion I want to see continue. I want to see all the fans get their takes out there on this. Even though it may go a little long and tiring at points, I think when you see matches like this that get discussion, even though to me this is not something that I consider a special match, this won't be in my you know, I won't vote this match of the year or anything like that, but it was a great match, and, you know, I think that this is ultimately good for both men, this match, and Japanese pro wrestling in general, and New Japan as well.
Yeah, and it has really created some buzz for this tournament, and under the surface of this match, that is the most talked about match. And I want to quickly mention that they both guys had a match at WrestleMania weekend for Evolve. It was essentially the same match.
Yes, exactly. This was groundbreaking.
Nobody really caught the end of wrestling back then.
That is true.
In my mind, it was just a very good match for the style the two were going.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, and that's just it. I don't have any more takes on that. But I want to mention that I have been very impressed by some people in the Super Junior Tournament. Most notably, I've been impressed with Beretta, as I've never really... I know he's good, but I've not really seen much of his singles work up until this point. But I really, really like what he's bringing to the table in the tournament so far. I really like what Rocky Romero is bringing in his matches. The match last Friday at the show that also featured Ricochet versus Will Ospreay, Beretta versus Bobby Fish in a really good match in my mind, and also Kyle O'Reilly is killing it right now.
Yes, someone who I've been impressed with is actually Liger. I've really enjoyed his matches in Block B. On that show with Ospreay Ricochet, he had a match versus Volador.
Yes,
that I love his style, and especially that block, because these guys like Volador and Ricochet and Ospreay, they all have very similar styles, and Liger I think brings out the best and each of their styles as kind of the opposite. I also appreciated that Liger, the thing we've coming out is that has come out is that Liger is training with Milano Collection AT for a return, which I thought was very humorous.
Really?
I've seen it on Twitter that he says that Milano, I think Chris Charlton had this on his Twitter page, that Liger said Milano's training every day, and he vows there will be a couple. Yeah, but I don't think so. He had a very serious injury.
Yeah, he shouldn't be wrestling anymore.
I don't take that as like face value. I thought it was just like, because you know Milano has his ongoing storyline with Naito right now.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that was just kind of build up to that. I don't think I'm like you, I don't want to see him. He had a very serious injury. But Someone who I've also been impressed with was Matt Sydal in Block A. He's really been a strong, he's had a strong performance in terms of wins and losses as well that I think caught people by surprise. Someone who I've not been impressed with is Tiger Mask, which may not be surprising, knowing the list of names, but I watched his match versus Ricochet the first night, which I thought he totally brought nothing to. And his match with Chase Owens was the definition of a middling type of match.
Yeah, but I actually liked his match against Volador.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Volador is a great person. As mentioned, I really think these guys like Liger and Tiger Mask are great foils for these high flyers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the role that Tiger really assumes well. Like you said, that was his best match up to that point. I think Volador's had a nice tournament, too. He's represented CMO. Oh, well. What do you make of Bushi's weak performance? Not necessarily as a wrestler, but I think a lot of people expected him to be a favorite in the block, and he's already been eliminated.
It's been weird that he has started with 0-3, and then I figured he would just get DQ'd in his following matches and just aim for the win against Kushida, which is, I think, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's still coming, and then he won two matches, and now he's kind of nowhere.
Isn't he eliminated? Though he can't win.
He can't win anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right. He's just total mid-card geek right now, just like Shibata in G1 last year.
And I think that caught many people with surprise, as I've read that a lot of people have been picking him as the winner of the tournament, or at least the finalist.
Osprey as well had a slow start.
Yeah, but as I'm looking at the blocks right now...
He's still eligible to win, though, isn't he?
There is a strong possibility that he still could win, because I'm just going through block B right now. Ricochet is at 8 points. Volador 6, Liger 6, Beretta 4, Chase Owens, Tiger Mask, Bobby Fish, and Will Ospreay, they have all 4 points. Will Ospreay still has 2 matches left. One match against Volador.
That's last night. Yeah.
No, that's the second to last tournament match.
Oh, okay.
And on Monday, on the 5th, that's Sunday. Ricochet against Volador and Will Ospreay against Liger. I see Volador winning this match. Mm-hmm. Going to 8 points. Also, Ospreay defeating Liger, going to 6. Then, on the second to last day of the tour, it's Volador versus Ospreay and Ricochet against Chase Owens. And if Ricochet loses then and Ospreay wins, he would be at 8 points and he would have defeated both Volador and Ricochet.
Yes, that is true. That builds up his story greatly in terms of his underdog. In my, just to shout out Voices of Wrestling again, I took part in their pick'em for this tournament. I really love these tournaments, how we can go down the scenarios of which guys can win. That's always such a fun part of these tournaments. It's something that I always look forward to. But my picks were actually Kushida to win Block A, and I went off the grid by picking Volador in Block B. I don't think he gets a lot of respect from the New Japan faithful, but he's a main eventer in CMLL, and I thought they would want to keep him strong. And personally, although I think Ospreay was always the favorite, I would prefer, not necessarily, I don't mind something being repeated over and over if it's your best option, but I feel like they would be wise to spread out these Ospreay title challenges and matches against Kushida more, because they have such depth right now, more than they've had in any other year.
Yeah.
And they should focus on getting these guys, you know, getting as many different people for Kushida to beat. To me, the thing that they should do, if I was the booker, the thing I would concentrate on most is making sure Kushida looks strong. Even though they didn't take that approach early on, but he's arguably the favorite in Block A right now to win.
Talking, the show is still going on, and we still have the results of the top two matches, which would be Bushi versus Ryusuke Taguchi and Kushida versus Matt Sydal. And quickly, Taguchi has been yes. very impressive in this tournament, which I think caught a lot of people off guard, but...
Undeservingly.
Taguchi has never been a bad wrestler.
I know.
He has been a goof, but yeah. that doesn't make him a bad wrestler. And a lot of people have really, really been down on his performances in the last months. And if you look at his short title reign that he had before Kenny Omega on the title, that reign was good, and he had good matches. And he's proven that he is a worthy guy of being in this tournament.
Yes, I thought he was underrated too. If you remember his when he won that title for that short title reign, his match with Kushida was very strong, and he had a strong match against Kushida again in this tournament. And he's really, I think he's actually thrived in his comedic role the last 6 months. Early on in his return, after his return from injury, he had a hard time. I think a lot of it too is that his character was just so. Like, such a parody of Eddie Guerrero, for some reason. With his tights and his moveset, he started to change around. I didn't understand his mannerisms. And before that, he was the Funky Weapon, and he was very well regarded. His series with Minoru Tanaka is something I always go to as one of the best junior series in New Japan of the last decade. And that was in 2007, I believe. And when he won the best of the Super Juniors, everyone thought he was deserving. That followed, this was pre, Okada era days, I guess you could say. But he was well rated. And after his injury, he came back with this character and it didn't really catch on. When we've seen him do, he's one of the ones that has done a lot of different things, on the roster. I think a problem with New Japan's roster on the whole is a lot of these guys, are very one-note and have done a similar thing for a long time, but he is one of the few that has really done a lot of different things, including his Nakamura impressions, which I thought was hilarious, his parody gimmick, from dressing up to Doc Brown to buddy with Kushida. And now he's getting to show that he's still a serious wrestler. Like you said, his gimmick was comedic. It doesn't mean that he was a bad necessarily. I think he's gotten a bad rap, and I'm happy to see the opinion starting to turn around on him. I was very impressed with his performance all the way from night one. He's been one of the standout performers in this to me.
Yeah, and who's your pick for the finals?
I think, unfortunately, for my pick'em, I think your scenario is absolutely the most likely thing to happen. I think Kushida will win Block A as the champion to keep him strong. And I'm just going to stick with Volador Jr. just as I'm very stubborn. Let's just say he goes to a draw with Ospreay to win the block. Because we haven't had enough draws in this. I know that is entirely unlikely.
Yeah. But
I just want my pick'em to do well, okay? Can I not have that?
I am still thinking that Bushi will spoil the finals for Kushida on the second to last day of the tour.
Sydal?
Bushi.
No, I'm saying would Sydal win the block in that
case?
He's number two right now.
Yeah, I would say Kyle O'Reilly would make it to the finals, and we could have a Kyle O'Reilly versus Will Ospreay final, maybe?
Is he in contention still? Because I remember reading something that said he was somehow a long shot.
Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle.
Kyle is on top with 8 points.
Good.
Right now, he won his match today on the show that's going on right now.
Who would win that match between Kyle and Ospreay?
Kyle.
Okay, I understand.
So then
that.
we would have some challenges lined up for Bushi. We would have Kyle O'Reilly. He beat Kushida in the tournament and he won the finals. We would have Bushi, who spoiled the final for Kushida. We would have Rocky Romero, who beat Kushida in the tournament. And that would be programs for the junior heavyweight title until the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that program, as you described, actually worked very well in accomplishing a lot of the goals that it should have. My only problem then is I think Kushida's been pushed as the ace of this division. And as I mentioned, I really am hoping for him to look strong throughout this and the rest of the year. As the thing that I go back to is an interview with CMLL and now a U.S. indie wrestler, Kaimatachi, when he won his match at Fantastica Mania for the CMLL title, he made a comment that said essentially that he doesn't want to come back to the junior division because it's not respectable. He wants to wait until the title actually means something again before he comes back. And I think I said this on the last show, they've done an excellent job since January, because in January with Omega's reign, the division, quite frankly, was in the toilet. And Kushida's done an excellent job, and their booking as well, of making this division stronger and this title stronger. I want them to keep that up. I want Kushida to be a clearly dominant champion, or not necessarily dominant, but very strong. And I hope that his title reign continues until Wrestle Kingdom next year. That would be my strategy, to keep this title strong, because if it goes, if we start to see something where the title flips back and forth, or someone that, just isn't respected in terms of booking gets the title again, I feel like this division could go back to where it was relatively quickly. Not any shot at O'Reilly or Ospreay, as I think Ospreay is actually the future of this division, or one of the key pieces of this division going forward. But I feel strongly that Kushida should be protected in this tournament and in this company for the next, until the end of the year.
Yeah, the one thing why I don't think that they are going with Kushida and or Ospreay again is they just had the match.
Yeah, that was my point earlier.
Yeah. So, basically, the Best of the Super Junior has been a great tournament up until now, and there are still, not counting today, there are still three shows coming up. The finals on Tuesday, actually, in Sendai Sun Plaza Hall. The tickets are going very good. And I have seen some people say that this would be a, not a success as a show, but I checked the ticket sales yesterday and it's looking pretty good.
I think that goes to my point that I've mentioned throughout this tournament and throughout this year, that they've done a great job of establishing the junior division as much better than it was in previous years. As it was in a slump and now it's rising back up again. And I'm happy to see that, because I'm, especially in New Japan, to me, New Japan is the junior company. And it was throughout the high point of wrestling in the 90s. That is what I associated with them. And it saddened me just after Kanemoto left and things had really lost their way. I felt like with Devin and Omega and some questionable booking. But they're getting back to where I think it should be and where and I think those ticket sales are a strong indicator that I'm right on that.
Yeah, and we have seen a great tournament, as I said, so far.
Yeah.
We have some shows down the line for New Japan. There is Dominion. Dominion is also almost sold out, and it's still 2 weeks down the road, so they could sell some more tickets and maybe sell it out in advance. We will see. I think that's it for this week. As I said earlier, we will certainly be back next week with another show. Then I think talking about the Super Junior Finals quickly, and also previewing Dominion, and also touching on the All Japan show from the 25th of May, which had Kento Miyahara against Daisuke Sekimoto in the main event. And that should be a good show.
Striga, I have one thing to say before we go.
Yeah.
Do we have a question on the MLW Clubhouse for us?
Yeah, we do. We have one question from the user Drella Drell.
I was looking forward to this, by the way, people. So, come on.
I quote, Striga, my dude, we all know that male wrestlers like Shinsuke Nakamura, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Katsushika Okada can possibly have nasty sex with any local Japanese woman they want with ease because they are gods in the ring. However, and that's where you come into play, Dylan. However, are there any Yoshi wrestlers that are considered sex symbols? I ask this because Rin Nakai from UFC surely cannot be the only one from the fighting world.
How did I not know about this question before the show? Well,
because I didn't prepare you.
good. I like it that way, so you get my natural answer. First of all, I think you made a huge mistake. Did he say Kota Ibushi was one of the male wrestlers?
No, Nakamura, Tanahashi, and Okada.
Well, you're wrong. Ibushi is the number one man.
He is.
As we've seen in his recent IGF.
We're going to touch on that next week as well.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. But as far as Joshi wrestlers, many Joshi wrestlers back in the old days were considered idols for little girls, and they tried to avoid pervy fans, let's just say perverted weirdos that often occupy women's wrestling shows. But I think there are many people who would be considered sex symbols in terms of physically, but I would rather not reveal some of them publicly, as I may be friends with some of them. But you have to understand that these girls, a lot of times, are... I hate to burst your bubble, my friend, but the companies in place actually try to forbid a lot of the Joshi women from... a lot of the native Joshi girls from engaging in such activities. So the Joshi women are very pure for the most part, sometimes. Although that the good news on that is that they've really stopped that in recent years, thankfully. So... A lot of wrestlers can speak basic English, as we've seen in Stardom World. So I would advise you, to our friend that asked this question, to contact them yourself and ask them these questions yourself and see how that goes.
Yeah, I will mention one name you mentioned earlier on this show, because she is very outgoing with this. Hikaru Shida. She is putting a lot of emphasis on her ass.
The ass artisan, as she's known. She is amazing, an amazing Twitter follow, and a good wrestler. But I as we know, as I consider myself the epitome of purity. I would never look at a female athlete in such a way. I purely judge these women on their athletic abilities.
Yeah.
And I very much shame the question asker of this, and anyone who thinks such things. You're all horrible people. And if you would like to give me examples of things that you follow or pictures you've looked up online, you can follow me on Twitter at DylanZeroPS, and you know, give me that information so I can shame you publicly. And
yeah,
I would.
So Dreladrell. Dreladrell, you should be ashamed of yourself for asking such a question. And on that note, we are out for this week.
I'm sorry.